Join with me in prayer. Ever living and eternal God, we thank you for the ability to give to you a portion of what you have given to us. Bless this offering this day, we pray, for the continued work of this, your community of faith. May it truly be a witness to your love in the world and help us be the witnesses that you ask us to be as well. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Here now, our scripture reading for this Lord's Day comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. I am reading to you verses 14 to 20. Hear the word of God for you. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I remember so distinctly the first time I ever traveled to a warmer climate in the winter. My in-laws had a place in Florida. They wanted Tom and myself to come visit, and we wanted to go there too. It was in January, about this time of year. We lived up near Buffalo at that time. I remember the contrast, and it is so distinct and vivid to me. Buffalo, Florida. I remember what it was like when we first got off that plane in Tampa, and I felt the warm sun on my face, and I saw the sand and then the water and the palm trees, and I thought I had moved from one universe to the other. It was that drastic. Well, as you can imagine, I had some trouble with the appropriate clothing to wear. I had packed what I thought were things for warmer weather, but you know, when you're trying to pack and there's snow and ice outside, it's a little difficult to wrap your mind around exactly what you would need. And so, you know, one of the first things I remember doing was going on a shopping trip, but that was fine. That was fine. I felt like a young child that was just opening up a toy chest that was just full of brand new toys. Everything looked different. I felt different as well. And so physically, being in a different place often does something to us, right? I mean, we are jarred out of the familiar. We gain a new perspective. We realize that we have left old habits and old ways of doing things and old patterns of behavior, and we are no longer on autopilot any longer. So maybe you have felt a little bit of a shift this morning from being in the sanctuary where we usually are, or even being in Fisher Hall where we sometimes have been, to being here in the chapel today. Physical changes do that for us. Physical changes from one space to another. I have to let you know that when I am here in this beautiful, beautiful sacred space, I feel the encouragement of all of those wonderful saints that have gone before us, who are no longer with us, but who have left us this wonderful legacy to carry on, and carry on we do. And we are trying to fit that legacy into current times. That's what they would have wanted us to do. But their encouragement is here with us and is always with us, carrying us through. And whether or not you recently stepped into this church building not that long ago for the first time, or whether you've been here for years and years and years, maybe more years than you can ever count, we all pick up on that legacy that we have. And what I want you to also know is this. Being pulled out of the familiar, embracing a new perspective, realizing that life is bigger than the small, defined worlds that we often create for ourselves, well, those new realities don't always just relate to being or a change in physical space. I mean, we can stay in the one in one space and still have different things happen to us. I don't know, maybe you, like me, have a favorite place you sit when you're at home. There's a comfortable place on my sofa in my living room. I am right there if I want to look at my laptop or if I want to read a book. And it's just sort of I go to that particular place. And yet maybe you've been in that place and you've read or seen something that has just changed your way of thinking and maybe made an impact in your inner geography, especially those things that have to do with the heart, and you feel like a different person. Or maybe you've had the experience of working at the same job, going into the same building day after day, and all of a sudden you meet up with someone who says something different to you than you've heard before, and all of a sudden, you know, the landscape around you, the scenery, looks different. I think all of these experiences are important to remember because they convey to us a basic truth of God. God invites us to experience a certain form of change, right? It's a change from old habits and confining perspectives, change from living within a world of the familiar, of autopilot, you know, change from seeing ourselves and doing only what we can do to get by, keeping the steady status quo, like, you know, a railroad track through life, and we just keep on that track and keep on that track often. God wants more for us than the small worlds that we create for ourselves. And not only that, you know, God wants for us something else. There are many who face challenges day in and day out that we can never imagine facing in our lifetimes. And who is God depending on so that those challenges can be met? Challenges that the forgotten have or the hurting have, or challenges that people face because of needs for shelter or clothing or the like. Who does God depend on? God depends on us, and God depends on us to get out of those small, well-defined worlds that we travel in so that we can meet the needs of others. That's why the call of the disciples that you heard for this morning from the Gospel of Luke, I think, is so powerful and so impactful for us. We can imagine Peter, Andrew, James, and John just having the same kind of conversation day in and day out. In the morning, it's, okay, will the fishing be good today or will it be bad? In the evening, it might have been, okay, was the fishing good today or was it bad? And then there might be this kind of pondering amongst themselves, what will the fishing be like tomorrow, good or bad? And then Jesus enters the scene. With Jesus, things look completely different to them. It's no longer all about them anymore. Now it's all about Jesus. The scenery has changed. Their attention has shifted. It's basically like he's saying, I can give you bigger things to think about, a bigger purpose for your life. Follow me and experience your lives changing. You'll be looking at some new scenery as together we care for people. It's interesting to me that neuroscientists say we have every single day of our lives maybe 50,000 or 60,000 or 70,000 thoughts. Give or take a few thousand thoughts here or there. We all do. Our minds, they just go. Our brains go. They do what brains are supposed to be doing. But how many of those 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 thoughts are the same old thoughts? I mean, who hasn't thought, oh, I'm thinking about the same stuff that I was thinking about yesterday? And who hasn't thought, maybe I'll be thinking about the same stuff tomorrow? He said that. She did this. Why am I always the one to worry about X, Y, Z? How many times do I have to put up with fill in the blank? Some folks say 90% of the thoughts that we think every single day are same old thoughts. It's a little thought-provoking, right? And I'm not saying this in any kind of condemning way, because our brains are just structured for it. As scientists also say, neurons that fire together wire together. And so we get these patterns in our heads. They're kind of etched in there. So thoughts keep going like rivers of thoughts, and they deepen those patterns of thinking in our heads. And we think, oh, it's like kind of these channels. Channels are made so that thoughts just go. They just go. Patterns of believing or thinking or acting have a drivenness, right, about them. And we need to be truly reflective. That's the only answer to it. Those patterns can be innocent ones, they can be kind of innocuous ones, but the point is we need to know what we are up against when it comes to the challenge of change. Change isn't impossible. It isn't. It just takes far more effort than we realize. And the challenge is to also notice the way God calls us to different scenery. Can make us a little uncomfortable. We don't know exactly what it means to follow all the time or what's in store for us. So much can be so uncertain. Remember the Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. There's this point in the story where the main character just hits a crossroads, and we read, you will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place where you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? There's not a surety about this stuff. Following is challenging. How did we ever think it wouldn't be? Anything worth doing is challenging. Think of the words of Jesus, whoever loses his or her life for my sake will find it. Last Monday, we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and I was thinking about how he invited people to get out of, you know, their familiar places, their familiar spaces. He invited people to new ways of being, be it through intellectual means or through a higher moral standard or through emotional change. And physically, he did the same. He invited people to march with him, to sit at lunch counters with him, to ride buses with him, to risk life and limb with him. And people did. They came from all over the country. So who says people can't change and move out of their small worlds? Reverend John Buchanan served as minister of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago for many, many years. Fourth Presbyterian holds a special place in my heart because that was the church where I was examined for ordination by the Chicago Presbytery. And John Buchanan had this prayer that he said every single Sunday of his active ministry right before his sermon. Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our hearts and our minds to your wondrous love. Speak your word to us, silence in us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our minds, our hearts to you. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we let God be the great startler in our lives, some pretty amazing things can happen. Thanks be to God for God's word to us today. Let us pray. Ever-living and eternal God, startle us with your truth. Take off our blinders. Help us truly see the way you ask us to follow. There is risk. There is change. And yet, you are there, strengthening us, always welcoming us with open arms. We thank you for the journey that we make together. In Christ's name, amen.